Commentary Track presents Radio Movies, classic radio shows based on classic films, with your host, Frank Thompson.
Boo! Welcome to episode 18 of Radio Movies. All month long this October, we're doing spooky shows. This one is not so spooky. It's The Ghostbreakers with Bob Hope, based on the movie from 1940. This is a Screen Director's Playhouse from April 3rd, 1949. And the great thing about Screen Director's Playhouse, as you know, is that the directors often show up to do a little intro or sometimes outro. And in this case, we have both from the great, the extremely underrated George Marshall, one of my very, very favorite directors and one of the most impressive directors who ever lived. He is there to set it up, and he is there to knock it down with Bob Hope afterwards. Sad to say, Paulette Goddard is not in this show, but she was in the film. The Ghostbreakers was made as a follow-up to The Cat and the Canary, which was an enormous hit for Hope and Goddard the previous year at Paramount. And it was also a spooky movie with comic overtones. They thought that went over so well that they would try it again. Bob Hope had been in movies for a while, but he hadn't really found his way, not as a central character, I think, until The Cat and the Canary. And it's even more so in this film, which also stars, by the way, Paul Lucas and Richard Carlson, Anthony Quinn, and it's the film debut of Robert Ryan. Who knew? He plays an ambulance driver in the film. Not in the radio show. Not even there. But one character who I really miss in this half-hour adaptation, because they always have to do some streamlining, but one character I really miss is Willie Best, who plays Bob's gentleman's personal gentleman who accompanies him to this haunted house in Cuba. What I like about this film and the pairing of Hope and Willie Best is that Bob would later hone his character as being this coward, but a guy with a lot of bravado. So he can be extremely chicken and also extremely vain all in the same moment. And in this film, it's almost like they haven't quite figured that out yet. And Bob and Willie Best split that character in two. So Willie Best does a lot more of the frightened takes, and not as offensive as you might think it is in the way that often black characters in films of the 30s and 40s were made just to be scaredy cats. Everybody in this film is scared, and Willie Best is just as sensible as all the rest. And it's a great performance. So I build that up only to tell you he's not in the radio show, so forget it. This was based on a 1914 play called The Ghostbreaker. That's singular. Written by Paul Dickey and Charles Goddard. And it was made into two silent films, one in 1914, which is directed by Cecil B. DeMille. And then it was made again in 1922. Then when Paramount remade it with Bob Hope in 1940, the great George Marshall directed it. And George Marshall also directed the next version, which starred Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis. In 1953, in that case, they called it Scared Stiff. Also a very funny movie. And Bob Hope, and not to mention Bing Crosby, also make cameo appearances in that film. I'd never really noticed this from watching the film, but part of it was actually shot on location in Havana, Cuba. And I don't know why. I've never remembered that that's the case, but it's not a lot of the film shot in Cuba, but some. And enough that the Havana Rotary Club later gave Paramount an award for portraying Cuba in a positive light and for being sensitive to the Cuban culture. So I guess all the ghosts and zombies and everything in the film were done with a great deal of sensitivity. I like to hear that. There's a little technical innovation in The Ghostbreakers, which is worth noting. It's a device called the Sonovox, which also sounds like an insult, doesn't it? You Sonovox. But the Sonovox was a way to convert human speech into musical sounds. And it's kind of hard for me, a layman, to explain that any better. But luckily, you can see it for yourself because it was used the same year as this in a Kay Kaiser film called You'll Find Out. First, they use it in a seance scene to give strange voices. But then in the big band finale of that film, the singer comes out with the sonobox. He's holding it to his throat. So you can actually see how it works and then see how it affects the musical instruments around him. It's really interesting, very fascinating. So this was used possibly not for the first time in The Ghost Breakers, but very, very early on to give the disembodied voices of the ghosts a strange sound. Now, by 1949, when this radio show was made, Bob Hope was an even bigger radio star than he had been in 1940, and he was already a pretty major radio star then. And so what I like about this, it would normally annoy me, I think, to see somebody messing around like this, but in this case, I think it's funny, and I like it, that Bob Hope does a lot of, let's be charitable and call it ad-libbing. His writers would write his ad-libs for him. But in several cases, it's clear that whatever he's come up with, the rest of the cast is not privy to it. And so he breaks up the cast on more than one occasion by saying something that they did not expect. But in one case, when they're talking to the weird old lady who runs the mansion where they come to search for the treasure, and I believe that is June Foray as the voice, and she surprises Hope. It's a great moment, which I will not say any more about it then, because it'll be very clear when it happens, because Hope completely breaks up. It's just very funny. So this is made very much like a Hope radio show. He's got a lot of topical references. He's going off book all the time, talking about other things, bringing up products, bringing up other things. Has a great Republican joke. To be fair, he also makes almost the same joke about Democrats in another film, so he tried to be bipartisan in his comedy anyway. But in this case, the Republicans get it. He's the only cast member that made it to the radio show, but as long as we have June Foray and Sheldon Leonard and others, all is well with the world. So you probably won't get that many shivers out of this one, but I hope you'll get a lot of laughs. Enjoy The Ghost Breakers, and we'll see you on the other side.
From Hollywood, the NBC Theater presents
Screen Director's Assignment. Production, The Ghost Breakers. Director, George Marshall. Star, Bob Hope.
The Hollywood Screen Directors present a comedy of terrors, The Ghost Breakers, starring Bob Hope in his original role and introducing the director of the film, George Marshall. Our guest screen director tonight might be said to have some small knowledge of motion pictures. He's been an extra, stunt man, prop boy, actor, film editor, cameraman, and assistant director. And 34 years ago, he launched his brilliant career as a director of some 385 films. We proudly present the president of the Screen Directors Guild and the director of such fine entertainment as Taproots, The Perils of Pauline, Destry Rides Again, and tonight's story, The Ghost Breakers. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. George Marshall.
Thank you very much. When we made The Ghost Breakers, the set bore a pretty close resemblance to a case of galloping nightmares. Included in our chamber of horrors were such things as ghosts, bats, zombies, witches, and Bob Hope. Which you can imagine is probably one of the screwiest parlays on record. And here's the result. And on the air for the first time, The Ghost Breakers, starring Bob Hope as Larry Lawrence and Shirley Mitchell as Mary Carter.
If ever a name struck terror into the heart of the underworld, it's the name of Larry Lawrence, intrepid radio reporter and crime buster. Yet only his closest friends know that behind his simple, vacant, foolish smile hides the real Larry Lawrence. Simple, vacant, and foolish. We find him now in his office preparing a last thrill-loaded broadcast before leaving on his vacation.
Oh, so you clam up on Larry Lawrence, huh? Come on, open up. Open up, I say, or I'll drill a hole clear through you. Okay, you asked for it. Take this. And this. And this.
Is there something wrong, Mr. Lawrence?
Yeah, I can't get this window open.
Here, let me try.
It's no use, Miss Coles. It's stuck. I'm a strong man, but...
There you are.
Miss Coles, I thought I warned you about weightlifting on office hours.
There's a Miss Mary Carter to see you, Mr. Lawrence.
Miss Carter? Is she a redhead, or are you wasting my time? You know, I'm due on the air in 15 minutes, and I'm waiting for Raspy Kelly.
Well, she says it's very important, Mr. Lawrence. And she's a blonde.
Oh, then put her in Category 7B. I'll see her when I get back from my vacation. And tell her to leave her telephone number and waist measurement.
Mr. Lawrence, please. Please, I'm Mary Carter.
I'm sorry, miss, but I'm working on my secret invention.
A real invention?
Yep, it's a bottle preparation for women who want to get their face lifted.
How does it work?
I mix nitroglycerin with cold cream. That just goes to show how tough a woman has to be when she deals with Larry Lawrence.
Oh, then you're really Larry Lawrence. The brave, strong, dashing Larry Lawrence I've always heard about.
Well, what are you waiting for, Miss Coles? Go somewhere and flex your muscles. And tell me when Raspy Kelly comes in.
Yes, Mr. Lawrence.
Mr. Lawrence, I need your help.
Ah, yes, don't you all. Poor girl. But I'm dated up for the next month. Perhaps someday in May, around apple blossom time.
You don't understand. Mr. Lawrence, you're famous as a crime breaker and gang breaker.
And there was that wonderful week in Duluth when I was a home breaker.
Now I want to purchase your services. I want you to become a ghost breaker.
Ghost breaker? I'm sorry, but the only spirits I mess around with come equipped with olives, not shrouds.
I'm serious, Mr. Lawrence. I've inherited an island off the coast of Cuba, Black Island, and there's a castle on it called Castillo Maldito.
Oh, sure, I've heard of that. Isn't that where Cougat raises little maracas? Now, Miss Carter, you're not going to tell me that castle is haunted.
Well, this afternoon, the deed was turned over to me by a Senor Parada. He told me that no one who ever eats dinner in the castle ever lives until breakfast.
You mean there's no post-toasties because of the ghosties?
Yes, there is a ghost. Senor Parada says it's the ghost of Don Santiago, my great-great-grandfather. That's why I'm afraid, Mr. Lawrence. Now, if you'll come with me to Castillo Maldito, I'll see that your time is well paid for.
Yeah, but why let a few ghost rumors frighten you? After all, what's a ghost? Just a Ku Klux that's lost his clan? What do you need me for?
Here, I received this card in the mail today.
Let's see. Death waits for you at Black Island. Well, here's your card, Miss Carter. Thank you and good night.
You mean you're afraid? You, Larry Lawrence?
Afraid? Me? Listen, I'm one of the bravest gumshoes in the business.
Well, you're acting like a child.
Okay, so I'm one of the bravest bubblegum shoes in the business. It's just that I don't like spirits to send fan mail. And besides, tomorrow I'll be in the mountains, so take your ghost postage to somebody else. Ah, that mountain air, that's the life. You go to the window at 6 o'clock in the morning, open it, climb in, and go to bed.
Kelly is here, Mr. Lawrence.
Oh, fine. I'll see him right away. Miss Carter, If you want an expert in things that go boo, 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 I've got a friend named Crosby. Why don't you see him?
No one else will do, Mr. Lawrence. I'm sailing for Cuba tonight on the Rexitania. If you change your mind, I'll be waiting for you in my stateroom.
Hiya, Larry. What do you say?
Well, hello, Raspy. Say, you sound better. Did you get the frog in your throat a fresh lily pad?
I got another Frenchie Duval story for you. It's a killer. Oh, ho, ho, ho.
Yeah, and so is Frenchie Duval. Say, does he know you're giving me these stories?
Sure, he loves it. Good publicity.
I know. I plug him or he plugs me. What have you got?
Frenchie has himself a new racket. Here's how it works.
And now, folks, here's a last-minute scoop. Frenchie Duval has a nice new racket, baby laundries. You know the kind I mean, with a slogan. This is the little one's laundromat. Frenchie discovered that there were about 2,000 of them in the state all making money. Without even telling his closest pals, he moved in and three-cornered the market. And so today, Frenchie is really cleaning up the hard way. This is Larry Lawrence saying goodnight.
Larry Lawrence will return to the air 2 weeks from tonight with more Lowdown on the Underworld. Now a word about Cronin's Coffee.
Well, that's that. One more week on the air without a rest, and I'd begin to look like Bob Hope.
Mr. Lawrence.
Oh, hello, Miss Cole. Did you hear the broadcast? Wasn't I great? Wasn't I terrific?
Frenchie Duval is on the phone.
Wasn't I just leaving? Wonder if he's sore. Courage, Camille. Hello, Frenchie. What's new?
Got a tip for you, Larry boy.
Shoot. I had to open my big mouth. What was that?
That was Raspy Kelly saying goodbye.
Raspy Kelly? But you're not mad at me, are you, Frenchie?
Oh, no, no, no. I told you, I got a tip for you. Here, get this. A Satan radio reporter was found in a ditch riddled with bullets.
Yeah? When did it happen?
Probably tomorrow.
Wow, that's what I call hot news. Tell me, hey, Frenchie. Oh, not me, not little old Larry. I'm
going to put somebody on the spot, boy.
Miss Coles, hand me that bottle of spot remover.
Hey, Lawrence, I'm taking care of you myself, personally.
Oh, Frenchie. Frenchie, boy, speak to me. Hello, Mort. Come to think of it, hello, mortician. Why did I bother paying this year's income tax?
Where are you going?
Cuba. Miss Coles, when it comes to ghosts, I'd rather see one than be one.
Oh, Larry, I'm so glad you decided to come.
Some stateroom you got on the ship. You ought to see mine. It's so far down, I can use a propeller to whip up my shaving cream. Say, did you see President Truman in swimming when we passed Key West?
No, which one was he?
The one in evening clothes.
Yes?
Radiogram for you, miss. And there's one for Mr. Lawrence, too.
Oh, thank you, Stuart.
Well, who'd know I was aboard?
Well, here's your telegram.
Well, isn't that nice? Mine must be from the Cuban Chamber of Commerce.
What does it say?
See Cuba and die. Hey, wait a minute. It's signed Frenchie Duval. Stop the ship. Man overboard. Stop the ship. Guzzle the mainsail. Box the cup.
Larry. Larry, please.
What?
Larry, look at my telegram.
What are you excited about? It just says, an empty coffin waits on Black Island. Gee, does Pierce Brothers know about this? You think we should make the one friendly call that covers all?
Larry, I'm scared.
And it's signed, Senor Muertes.
Muerte. In Spanish, that means death.
I know his brother, rigor mortis. You poor kid, you really are in trouble, aren't you?
I'd be in a lot more trouble without you to help me.
Yeah, I'm brave. Two-gun Larry Lawrence. When I find out who's threatening you, I'll break him in two and use half in the castle and half in the bathroom. Sure, that's me. Courage on the loose. Only it isn't so.
What do you mean, Larry?
Well, I'm running away from myself, from some gangsters in New York.
Oh, I didn't know.
Look, Mary, we're both in trouble. Let's play it together, huh?
Mm.
You stick by me, and I'll stick by me, too. Seriously, Mary, I... You know, you're beautiful.
I'm frightened.
Hello?
Hello? This is Señor Parada.
Mary, it's Parada, the guy you were telling me about.
Who is this speaking?
Never mind about me. What's the idea of scaring Miss Carter with all that ghost stuff?
Ghost? I'm sorry, but I must have the wrong stateroom.
Hello? Hello? Hello, Señor Parada.
Parada? Well, that's strange. I wonder why he's on board.
Yes?
Oh, I noticed Miss Carter's name on the passenger list. Is she here?
Why, yes, I'm Miss Carter. Who are you? Why, you're...
That's right, Jeff Montgomery. May I come in?
Oh, please do.
We met at the store club a few weeks ago.
Yes, of course. Mr. Montgomery, this is Mr. Lawrence.
You're traveling to Cuba, Mr. Montgomery?
Yes, my home's in Havana.
Oh, we're going to Havana, too. And then on to Castillo Maldito on Black Island.
Say, I'd heard that jinx was wished off on... Not you.
Yeah, we won 2 glorious weeks there on Ladies Be Seated.
Miss Carter, that place is evil. There's the legends about the ghost, and there's said to be a zombie on the island, the son of the native woman who looks after the place.
Zombie?
Yes. Some voodoo priest seemed to have the power to bring the dead back to life. You see them once in a while walking around with despondent, hopeless, staring eyes.
You mean like Republicans?
Please be careful, Miss Carter. If you insist on going to Black Island, be sure you go well protected.
Well, what do I look like, an egg beater? There's nothing on that island but ghosts, evil spirits, and zombies. Ghosts, evil spirits, and zombies. When's the next boat back to New York?
But what about Frenchie Duval?
Him. He's just trying to kill me, that's all. Between Black Island and Frenchie Duval, I'll take...
Yes, Larry.
I'll take...
Darling.
Black Island, here I come.
You are listening to the Hollywood Screen Directors presentation of The Ghost Breakers, starring Bob Hope with Shirley Mitchell, and introducing the director of the film, George Marshall. Black Island, its silhouette broken by the menacing outline of Castillo Maldito against the night sky. And approaching the island, a small rowboat carrying Larry Lawrence and Mary Carter.
Boy, no wonder the native boatmen won't come here at night. Look at the place. What a ruin. Looks like CBS pulled a raid on it.
Just a few more strokes, Larry. We're almost there.
I've been hauling on these oars so long that my blisters are forming pyramid clubs.
Here's the dock.
Here. Let me help you out.
Oh, thank you. Ooh. There.
There. Lafayette, we are here. I think Lafayette's here, too.
It's probably the old woman caretaker that Jeff told us about. She may be just trying to scare us.
She's wasting her time. We're scared already. Uh-oh. There she is, Mother Zombie.
My son is walking. The zombie walks.
Taxi strike, huh?
Go away. Go away or zombie get you. What you want?
Could we interest you in a subscription to Weird Stories magazine?
This is my island now. I've inherited the Castle Maldito.
No. My island.
Sounds like Ron Monroe's mother. Gee, great night for a murder.
Who told you?
Oh, I just... Huh? I thought I was going to get the laugh, you know?
For other men?
What?
One man come in big plane. Other men come in boats. 2 boats.
Tell me, does the Greyhound bus make a rest stop here?
You go. Go. I get zombie.
Give my regards to Boris Karloff. Come on, let's get into the castle. Hand me the flashlight, Mary. There.
Oh, golly, what a place. I wonder who lived here last.
Must have been Jolson. The front porch is down on his knees.
Larry, look over there. Turn your flashlight to the left.
A suitcase.
Hmm. It's almost new. One of the people who came to the island must have left it here.
Let's see the initials. F.D.
Frenchie Duval.
Frenchie, come on, let's get out of here.
Varnett, stop, I'll shoot.
There he is.
Put out the light.
Okay, here, behind this post.
Thought you'd get away from Frenchie Duval, did you? Where are you, Lawrence? Come out.
I'm not here, I'm over there. Let's go. Here, in this room. Well, now we know who one of our guests was. What about the other two, huh?
Yes.
I don't know, but I think I could spit and hit one of them.
Oh, it's just the wind.
If it is, it's the first time I ever heard a breeze with adenoids.
You, strangers. I kill strangers.
Oh, Larry, it's the zombie. It's the living dead. I never saw anything like it.
You never played Philadelphia.
Strangers, die.
Hey, strangers, that's us.
Zombie, kill.
Sorry, but I gotta see your union card.
Oh. Larry, you stunned him with your flashlight.
Help me drag him into the closet.
Okay. And you told me you were a coward.
Yeah, what do you know? I'm brave. Hey, Zom. Everything okay?
What did he say?
He said, with men who know their castles best, it's zombies, 2-1. Come on, let's see what else is going on in Nightmare Alley. This is a short interlude of organ music. Let's switch to another station.
Come on, Larry. Let's find out who's playing that organ. The organ. There it is.
Yeah, and those things around it are either coffins or boxes of king-sized Cuban cigars. Nobody here now. Wonder who was playing it.
Itself. I don't like it.
Petrillo won't like it either. Maybe somebody put a nickel in it.
There's no one there.
Why, that's ridiculous. Only a ghost could do that, and there's no such thing. If there really are ghosts, I'd lose my mind. I'd end up in the snake pit. Move over, Olivia. Hey, huh? Do you see what I see?
On the organ bench. It's coming out of thin air.
Too many reducing tablets.
Larry, it's a ghost.
Man, marching man, find the key and marching man.
Maybe they're drafting again. What's he talking about?
I don't know. Ask him.
You ask him. I feel too ghastly to be ghostly.
Marching man, the key. Marching man.
Look, it's getting up.
And floating toward that empty coffin.
It's getting in.
Gee, that ghost gave some performance.
Yeah? Well, wait till you see me in Hamlet.
Come on. I'm going to find out what's really in that box.
Look, on the side, there's a plate. Why, it's the coffin of Don Santiago, my ancestor who built the castle.
Let's get the lid up.
Larry, there's nothing but a skeleton.
Yeah, old man Moe sure is dead.
Larry, I think he was trying to tell me something. Something about the marching men. He wants me to look for something.
Look, if he forgot anything when he left, there's no sense looking for it now. Let's go. Don't forget that Frenchie Duval is looking for us, and there's two other characters around somewhere.
Larry, turn your flashlight over there, above the organ. Isn't that an inscription?
Can you make it out?
I think, yes. Let me see. God's treasures in abundance lie, something heavenly key before they die.
There's more to this than meets the eye.
The ghost, it said something about a key, Larry.
How can we look for a key? We haven't even got a keyhole.
Well, keys could mean music.
Look, let's keep moving around. If we stay in one spot, we're dead. Dead. I wonder who thought up that expression.
The marching men must have something to do with it.
We'll ask them on the 4th of July. Come on.
Larry, there, on the wall. Aren't those marching men?
Those little figures carved into the stone?
Hmm. Now, if I draw a horizontal line through this marching man, and one parallel to it through this one, and another one, and two more...
This is a fine time to start playing tic-tac-toe.
No, don't you see? It becomes a bar of music. That's what the ghost was trying to tell us. The key is a chord on this organ.
Mary, keep playing. Look, down Santiago's coffin. It's shifting off its base, and I don't feel so good myself. Keep playing. Higher, higher. That's enough. Look!
It's a secret opening.
Yeah.
With a flight of stairs.
There's nothing down there but some dusty old dungeons. Let Jack Benny keep his money. Come on.
Larry, you go first.
Okay. But remember, I'm leadoff man on the way back. Say, there's a lantern down here.
Yes, and railroad tracks, like in a mine.
Yeah, railroad tracks. It reminds me of my hotel room in Scranton. Come on, keep going.
Look out, you'll trip over that rail.
Oh!
Oh! Oh, did you hurt yourself? What did you land on?
This is a comedy. What do you think? I'm... Mary, look at this.
What is it?
I've seen this stuff before. Silver ore, the real thing. Mary, you're rich.
Congratulations, Miss Carter.
Senor Parada.
So you're Parada. What's the gun for?
You can't get away with it. I'll shoot.
Now listen, Parada.
No, not you. Behind you. Look out!
Larry, it's Jeff. Jeff Montgomery.
Yes, it's Jeff. It's too bad I had to wound you, Parada, but you'll soon be put out of your misery.
Miss Carter, I came here to warn you. He's mad. Insane.
Against the wall. All three of you. I warned you, Mary, but you chose to ignore my messages.
What's this all about?
About a vein of silver as wide as the island. I discovered it, and it's mine. You hear? This mine is mine, and what's mine stays mine.
Thank you, Gertrude Stein. Okay, so it's yours, but let Mary go.
No! Nobody's going to carry any tales out of here.
All right, come on out of there. I got you buttoned up. Come on.
Who's that?
Frenchie DeVal. It's the police. They've got you trapped, Montgomery.
They'll never get me. Not now. This is mine. They'll have to shoot it out.
You tell them, kid.
Get through. Finish.
Never. Never!
Oh, Larry, they've killed each other. Frenchie and Jeff.
I'll match you to see who faints first.
Oh, Larry.
Move over. Stop hogging the floor. And a fond farewell to Cuba. We leave your castle to Mother Zombie and her bouncing baby boy.
Yes. And with Parada taking care of the mine, we'll never have to come back. And now that I'm rich, I'm going to back you in a television show.
Yeah, after all those ghosts, it'd be nice to try out a new medium.
Oh, what in the world will we do with $100 million?
What, honey?
What will we do with $100 million?
Well, we can always open another hotel in Texas. Get Dorothy L'Amour to broadcast.
Larry, I still don't understand about the ghost. It must have been real.
No, honey, it was just one of Montgomery's tricks. There's no such things as ghosts. Why didn't we have her sit in the audience?
Next week, the NBC Theater brings you a motion picture romance set against the background of memorable music. The story is Music for Millions, and our star will be June Allison. Oh. And now here again is tonight's star, Bob Hope, and screen director George Marshall.
Tell me, Georgie boy, you used to be a fast man with a set of golf clubs. Do you still linger on the links?
Sorry, Bob, I don't have time to give lessons. Why don't you buy a good book on the game?
Buy one? I wrote one last week in my life's blood on the sixth hole at Palm Springs. There I was, see, George, a four-iron shot from the green. I was standing like
this. You're standing wrong.
Get this kid, always a director. I'm standing wrong. Who taught you how to play golf, Bobby Jones?
That's right, he did. Who taught you?
Some little Scotch caddy called Crosby. But I don't play with him anymore.
Why not?
Why not? Would you play with a fellow who puts grease on your putter, cheats on his scorecard by making his nines upside down, builds a furrow on the green with an electric shaver so that the ball has to roll into the cup?
Oh, no.
Well, neither will he.
Good night. Good night, Bob. Thanks a lot. Good night, folks.
Good night, Bob Hope and George Marshall. The Ghost Breakers was presented through the courtesy of Paramount Pictures, currently releasing Alias Nick Beale, starring Ray Milland, Audrey Totter, and Thomas Mitchell. Bob Hope will soon be seen in the Paramount picture Sorrowful Jones with Lucille Ball and Mary Jane Saunders. George Marshall's next Paramount release will be My Friend Irma, starring John Lund, Marie Wilson, and Diana Lynn, and NBC's own Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis. Included in tonight's cast were Shirley Mitchell, Donald Morrison, Sheldon Leonard, Jack Edwards, June Foray, Ken Christie, Betty Moran, and Dan Riss. The Ghost Breakers was adapted for radio by Richard Allen Simmons, and original music was composed and conducted by Henry Russell. Production was under the supervision of Howard Wiley, associate producer Ray Dietrich. Your announcer has been Frank Barton. Listen again next week when the NBC Theater presents...
Screen Director's Assignment, production Music for Millions, director Henry Koster, star June Allison.
The NBC Theater came to you from Hollywood. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
I hope you enjoyed that production of The Ghost Breakers. I always get a kick out of it. I've heard it two or three times. I do know that there's a later version, I think from the early 50s, that lasts an hour that Bob Hope did. And as of yet, I've been unable to find it. So when I do, you can count on it coming up at next Halloween, because I hope to do this on an annual basis. Although you'll be shocked to learn, there really aren't that many spooky radio shows based on movies of the 30s and 40s. Just didn't happen all that often. And so I'm going to play most of them this month. So maybe by a year from now, you'll have forgotten all about these. And you'll be ready to hear them all again. I know I will. Thanks to my wonderful wife, Claire McCullough, for being my announcer on this show, the Radio Movies, and on the commentary track, where I interview filmmakers, film historians, archivists, actors, you name it. I'm up to 75 episodes of the commentary track now, so kind of a little milestone there. Claire is the wonderful voice that introduces both of those, and I am so grateful for her participation. Also, thanks to James Hutchins for designing my websites, thecommentarytrack.com and frankthompson.tv. You get Radio Movies right there from thecommentarytrack.com. On the toolbar, when you get there, you'll see a link that says podcasts. Hit that, and it'll give you a choice as to whether to go to the list of the commentary tracks or the list of Radio Movies. And you can listen to them all there. When you go to iTunes to get your free subscription, and I hope you will, you just have to subscribe to the commentary track, and you'll get both of these podcasts. And they'll just come right into your iPod. It's a wonderful thing. Thanks also to my pal Mike Bolt for writing my theme music. And thank you for telling your friends, for giving us good reviews on iTunes. Please do more of that. Tell more of your friends. Get the word out on these things. And also use the Amazon link to go to Amazon and buy whatever you want. Use the Amazon link on my website, thecommentarytrack.com, and then I'll get a little bit of feedback from Amazon, and it won't cost you an extra penny. So that's win-win. So actually, if you add in what Amazon gets out of it, it's win-win-win. You can't beat that. So please do that and have another, even, well, we'll have a genuinely spooky show for you next week as we continue our month of scary radio shows. So I hope you'll join me then. And in the meantime, find the DVD of The Ghostbreakers and watch it. You'll like it.